to order the Tuesday, November 13th, 2018 meeting of the Board of Fire Commissioners of the Catuit Fire District. Present, Commissioner Pisano.
Commissioner Conley.
Commissioner Zace.
Chief Root.
And we have been notified of recording of the meeting by Ms. Cates. First order of business is public comment. Do we have any public comment? No public comment. Next order is review and approval of previous meeting minutes. We have the consolidated minutes from the October 9th meeting, which served both October and September of this year. I've already reviewed them. I only have one correction that I'm aware of. Chief, it's on page 3, and it's just a single word. I'll give you this. I'll sign this copy and give it to you if it's approved. Everybody?
Yep. Good.
Yep.
We accept them as printed with this one correction.
Second.
In favor, Pisano.
Conley.
Zace.
I believe the word I underline should be objection as opposed to objective. Next item is the fire chief's report.
Responses, we did a total of 60 responses in October, 36 were medical, 0 hazardous condition, 17 were service, good intent, or false alarms. Mutual aid report. Online, there's the report for Mashpee Mutual Aid, as we've been tracking that. We had mutual aid from Mashpee twice last month, and we went there 3 times. Fairly mutual last month.
Looking at those from the previous year, these September, October, November, December, they all seem pretty low incident in both directions.
So yeah, they are. They're the average there. Years. They're fairly normal. And
so the real discrepancies accumulate primarily July and August.
Yes.
June, July, August.
June, July, August were the bad months that we're working to correct.
Right. Do I understand that you and Commissioner Conley have another meeting with the town manager tomorrow?
We do have a meeting tomorrow to review some of the action items that we both decided to work on, so we're hoping tomorrow we can get a little further down that road.
Okay, because we really won't be able to see the ultimate effectiveness of them until we're into the next summer season.
Until next spring, right. Hopefully it'll
right. And we have had, Commissioner Conley, we've had that conversation with them, and what we're reviewing is what the steps they're taking now that's going to impact us come the summer, spring / summer next year.
Well, it would be nice if you could make a positive impact.
Yep.
We will fix the problem, guarantee it. It will get fixed. So, administration, computer-aided dispatch of vehicles. Firefighter Emerson, Pete Emerson, is helping us with that. He's working on the iPads and the trucks. He's actually, I think, today or tomorrow, putting in new SIM cards so we get them all up to Verizon so that you get the real-time connection to the computer-aided dispatch. Open Cape is working currently. They've just started working on the quote to splice in. So they take the town of Barnstable feed that we have in our building and splice it into the Open Cape as close as possibly as they can, so either at the library or somewhere on Main Street. So that we'll be mostly depending on the Open Cape system, which is redundant and maintained, as opposed to the town of Barnstable system, which is not redundant. Any failure on the point fails the system. Open Cape's got, it's always fed from 2 different directions, so it's much more reliable. So we're working on getting a quote on that.
So Chief, Open Cape comes into the library, is that what you said?
It does, yeah.
Okay, so that's fiber into the library?
Open Cape has fiber to the library, as well as town of Barnstable has fiber to the library. They both are in there.
I got you. Yep. And then we'll bring it. What will we bring over to the station? Fiber.
Fiber. We already have fiber in the station. So the town.
But is it going to the library? It is.
It goes by the library. No, it does. The town of Barnstable goes into the library too.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure how our fibers work. If the actual fibers in our building go by the library, or if those are some of the ones that go into the library, I'm not sure. That's what they were working on figuring out.
Okay.
If they don't do it there, they're going to splice into the corner of Putnam Ave and Main Street. There's, I think, a service loop for both systems there. Mm-hmm. They could take the loops down and splice in there, so.
Cool. I had two questions in this regard. We still get bills from both Verizon and Comcast.
Yes.
If this linkage is completed, will we be able to drop the Comcast?
We'll be able to drop the Comcast. The Verizon, we pay right now, we'll get the wireless bills we pay for the connectivity of the vehicles.
And right, we've so got that's the land. Cellular, right?
That's their cellular, which OpenCape does not provide.
Right.
We would look, and we've talked about looking at voice over IP systems for moving our phones to the fiber and off of the hardline Verizon system. We haven't really looked into that to figure what the price difference would be, but we're going to look into that as well.
Mm-hmm. My experience, the trade-off is reliability.
Which is lower on a fiber system?
Can be.
Really?
Okay.
But we would still need the cellular connection for the vehicles when they're...
We still need a cellular connection on our vehicles, and there's right now no other solution that I know of for that, mm-hmm. besides the cellular companies.
So Commissioner Zais makes a great point with reliability. I would think we could find out, though, what Open Cape's reliability rates have been. You know, as we get down the path, there's a lot
sure.
of moving
yeah.
parts, right?
We've talked to them about that, and from everything I've heard, I think they've had almost zero downtime in the Open Cape system. They're extremely reliable. They're, what do they call it, a ring system, they call it. So every one of their systems is fed from two different directions. So once you get on the system, you're fed. If a pole goes down to the south of you, the system's reverts your traffic to the north.
Cool.
So it's to have 2 points of failure for it to go down.
In any event, when we get to that point, I would definitely recommend a period of time of running two systems together.
Not a bad idea.
You know?
Yeah.
So you have the landline,
right.
the traditional landline.
Right.
You know,
yep.
Before you switch over to VoIP.
Right. No, I agree.
And you're right. That particular implementation of the IP network is probably going to be more tolerable. I'm just thinking that you'd hate for any situation of not be able to
no,
get a hold of you.
I mean, we don't get 911 feeds
no,
directly,
I know that.
So that's
but
a
if
good
someone
thing.
Just calls for...
And a lot of the voice over IP go over the Comcast network, which does
yeah.
go down, so that would cause a problem if there was voice over IP over Comcast.
A little geek moment there. Sorry.
No, I will.
I was curious about that myself.
Yeah.
When we get some information, I'll copy you on it, and maybe you can give me some advice on it as well.
Good thing is that these things keep getting better. So.
They do, yeah, fortunately. Other administration, I put it out SOG for draft this afternoon for station coverage. So the timing on coverage and the way different shifts have covered for different calls has been inconsistent. So I'm looking to bring a little consistency to when we bring back standby. So standby is the off-duty personnel that come in to cover the station when our three full-time personnel are out committed on calls, so we have somebody available for concurrent second calls. The new policy is a 20-minute commitment, so anytime a crew is going to be committed more than 20 minutes or 20 minutes or more, we would propose that we bring in the relief personnel to cover the station. And that mirrors what COM does, so our dispatch, who dispatches for us and for COM, would be running it the same for both departments. So we'll be getting standby when we need it and not when we don't need it.
Chief, you released that to the, you released that when?
This afternoon.
This afternoon.
I didn't release it, I put it off a comment period, so I've got to put it off a comment period so that the on-duty staff and union can review it and propose, make their comments on it, so.
It came in under.
Have you done any?
No, I know I have it here. I was wondering when he released it to the personnel.
Right.
So you haven't had any feedback probably on it yet.
Have not. No.
Okay.
No.
Thank you.
It's we're looking at further changes to increase the number of people we get to stand by and the coverage, so we're covered as much as possible. And I think there's going to be a lot more proposals that go into this. This is kind of the first step in trying to manage. Make the best use of our standby, of our overtime. So we want to bring people in when we need them, and not when we don't need them. So this is the first step in that direction, and there's going to be more steps to come. And like I said, it's all for drafts, so I'm waiting for comments from yourselves and from the other staff, and we'll see where we go.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll table my thought for a second. And I'll come over, and I'd like to go. Basically, I was going to say, have we thought about what this means from an impact standpoint? You know, have we modeled this?
Yes.
Okay.
I've got an Excel spreadsheet done with the last 3 years of calls, and I've got everything all classified, whether it's a greater than 20 minutes, less than 20 minutes, whether it's a day shift call, a night shift call, what the expense would be, and what it means. So, and we're looking to use that model to try to propose some better use of the funds so that we more incentivize people to come in and cover these openings when we need them. So that's what we're looking to do. I mean, we need to, before I bring it to you, I need to have exact costs so that I say if we're proposing X new plan, it's going to cost this amount of dollars, and the research shows over the last 3 years that this is exactly what it would be. So,
okay.
And unfortunately, I'm not ready to bring that to you yet, to bring the second part of the plan in here, and not until I really have firm numbers and it's modeled for the last couple of years. And
Chief and I discussed this earlier in the month as well, and we're hopeful that they'll have the numbers complete potentially for the December meeting that we could look at.
Okay, great.
As well. But the initial posting of the SOG will comment where it gives us an opportunity to both alert the union and to get first round of feedback, find out what issues they may see or be concerned about that we haven't addressed.
Okay, great.
And Chief, I think it's a fantastic first step. I just finished reading it, so.
Nice. Training, last month we did live fire training with Mashpee Fire, so we went to the Barnesville Fire Academy. We sent, I think each day we had three or four of our personnel alongside. Mashpee usually sends, I think, about eight or nine personnel their day. And we did a multi-company fire operations extinguishment, where we trained with incident command system and extinguishment of fires and pulling landmines, and it was really good. Guys got a lot out of it. They were all pretty exhausted by the end of the day, but good drill. Good to get them out, get air packs on, and get some experience because we don't do fires every day. So that was a success. This month also, I didn't put it in here, but we're doing this month coming up hose testing.
Oh, that's so coming up.
I thought it was on there, but the hose tester got delivered a little late, and they're looking for some adapters they just ordered today. So. Lieutenant Polia got the adapters ordered today, and we should get them in by the end of the week. And we're going to pull all the hose off all our trucks and test every one of them to the NFPA standard, which I don't think has been done in a while. It should be done annually, so we're going to get that done the next month.
Very good.
Pro EMS, the EMS.
Excuse me.
Yeah, sorry.
Here you go.
Sure.
Off the training. I'm assuming all of us have received the same email from this outfit that has been addressing what seems to be a an informational training program about mesothelioma, and I have not researched the company and wasn't clear whether any of you have any knowledge of who they are and in effect what they're selling, because the upfront introduction seems that they just have helpful information that we can post to the website, but forgive me for being suspicious, but
the chief and I did have a brief conversation on it.
Commissioner Conley alerted me to that and asked me if it was something that we would think we want to put it on our website. It was. They claimed to be an informational website for mesothelioma, and that they're giving public information to benefit fire service personnel, and they wanted us to put it on our website. If you read further into it, the company's owned by a law firm. And they're looking for business.
It's a class action. They're looking for members of the class.
So this law firm is looking for clients. It's there's some information on it, but it's sponsored and run by a law firm. And it says in there, you know, basically, if you have got any issues, give us a call and we'll represent you. So I don't think it's appropriate.
Such a well-studied topic. I'll bet dollars to donuts that there's plenty of free resource, you know, there's resources out there that we could, if you felt like it was something that we needed to provide information about, we could do
that. Right. I don't see a link to them. I think they're with a private company.
suspicion.
Yeah, no, you were right.
Thank you for the clarification.
Amazing in this day and age that someone might not be on the level.
Yeah. Yeah. Pro EMS, the EMS billing information, the reports were attached. Personnel,
excuse
so
me.
Good.
We're still, the increase in collections, this still reflects the summer bump in activity, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a month behind, yeah. So we should start seeing a decline fairly soon, yeah.
Right.
I'm not sure what the, I have to take a look what the lag is. It's probably a good month or two. So there's a month reporting lag, so we're getting as a month old, and there's probably a 2 or 3 month billing lag between billing insurance companies and paying a receipt. So I imagine we still see increases until probably January, February. Mm-hmm. I honestly never graphed it out to see how it graphs.
Excuse me.
And their data picks up in April because that's when we switch to them.
Yes.
Month.
Yep.
Okay. Well, so we'll start to get a track record with them.
Yeah. I should go back and take a look, see how they're. Maybe when April comes along, I'll track the first year of them compared to the last year at Comstar and see if they've actually increased. Mm-hmm. Personnel, we still have one firefighter out on sick leave. We have required that firefighter do a physical with a district doctor to return to work, and as a result have a grievance from the union, which has been filed as step one. The grievance, the firefighter has complied irrelevant of the grievance, the firefighter has complied with the request and is going through the physical, and I'll be answering the grievance the next day or two, denying the grievance, and if they forward to step two, then it'll end up on your desk to see where we go. They claim that we don't have the right to require physicals of firefighters. The contract actually does give us that right. Our legal counsel has assured us that's the case, so I don't see this going to step two. I say it's just going away. The firefighters complied with the physical, and we're waiting on the results to see where we go from there. So that's where that one is. Promotional testing has been scheduled for May 24th. Apparatus.
Promotional testing. Great. At our last meeting, we passed a motion to do the promotional testing through the firm that's in the minutes. I've forgotten the name of it. I believe.
Oh, we hadn't talked since then, did we? Okay.
Right. So
yes.
I believe that we have to have a motion to cancel that and authorize the model that Commissioner Zace and the chief came up with and the union has agreed to that saves us a considerable amount of money and effort to have a successful promotional testing. Do you have that copy of the minute so I can cite the name for the record?
Yeah, we voted on Sylvester Associates.
Oh, okay.
So Sylvester Associates, I think they were, I figure what their quote was, around $5,000 to do the testing.
Right.
So Commissioner Zace and I had a conversation, and he asked if there was, what would the usefulness of this test was, and why, not an objection to the money spent, but was it money well spent? And I guess my answer was, maybe not. You know, we're creating a list for a position that doesn't exist.
Right.
And this list only lasts for 3 years, and it could be over this 3 year period we spend $5,000 and there's nothing that comes of it. So I approached the union and suggested, just for everybody's information, that that we just do the written test. So we'll do the written on the date that's described, and the written will cost us a couple hundred dollars to have a test written. And we agree to within, I think it's 20 days or 30 days, within the opening. So if a lieutenant's opening is created within 30 days, we'll give the practical part of the test. And we'll do it as a joint labor management process. So they'll be involved in the process, so they have buy-in. It'll require together, if we do it together, we can do it with less contractors probably. We might have to bring in one contractor, a contractor to do the fire problem. It's not something I've got experience with, and if it even has to get done. If there's an opening in the next 3 years, we'll get that done within 30 days. I mean, at the end of the day, it is definitely going to cost us less money and could cost us a lot less if there's no openings in 3 years.
Everybody understand where we're going with this?
And they're part of the process, so it's not done in a vacuum without the union's input. They're part of the process and part of the evaluators, and hopefully get more buy-in to the process.
Yeah, that's a good point of order that we had voted on something we need to now unvote.
So I'm going to make a motion that we reverse our decision of the prior month of awarding the bid to Sylvester Consultants for the promotional testing and go with the new plan as the Chief just described.
All right, second.
Commissioner Conley seconds. All in favor? Pisano?
Conley?
Zace?
Unanimous. Very good. Thank you.
Thanks.
So now do we need to move that we go ahead with the the written thing?
Okay. Do this with
No. You're the chairman. Move that we proceed forward with the promotional testing plan as with the written test as designed by Chief Rude in conjunction with the union.
Second. In favor? Pisano?
Conley?
Zace?
Unanimous. Okay.
Apparatus 266, the new fireboat is at the dock still. It's in service at the dock. We had a meeting, myself and Commissioner Pisano had a meeting with Town Councilor Jessica Rapazzetti, and we discussed how we might go forward with the town to find solutions for a permanent docking solution for us. We talked about some possibilities with the modification of the town dock or some other possibilities. And her recommendation, what it comes down to, was to go to the Waterways Committee and discuss it with them. If we get buy-in from the Waterways Committee, we've got a better chance of it going through the approval of the town council's level and getting something to happen. So I haven't done it, but I'm going to schedule a meeting with the Waterways Committee to talk with them and see what we can find for a solution.
Very good.
Also with 266, we bought a set of dollies. So Chris Dolly, our office manager, EMS coordinator, has got us a great deal on some dollies through Port Supplier West Marine. So for about, I think it's about $2,000, we have dollies we can put the boat on, take it off the trailer, put it in the dollies, and store it inside for the winter. So it'll save us the money of winterizing and shrink wrapping the boat and give us the ability to work on the boat inside and train on it on the electronics inside during the winter. So we'll be doing that in probably sometime in December when we pull it out of the water. It'll get put down back, down by the brush breaker and tucked inside out of the weather.
So just out of for completeness, where did we pull the $2,000 from?
It just came out of apparatus.
Apparatus. We had enough.
We had money to cover, yeah. We under budget for that section.
Okay, great.
We had the money for it. That's it for 266,
I forgot to get back to you in that last discussion. You had another comment, or did we cover it about the
No, I wanted to let you know that that's what it's all about. Okay. I'm not a lawyer, but I have a lot of class action lawsuits.
Very good, thank you. Pete?
I think that's it with 266. 260, the new pickup truck, it's at Chevy dealership. Liberty Chevrolet received it, and they're right now sending it out. It's getting plow mounted, the bed lined, rhino lined, and lights and radio installed. So that should be here shortly. I sent some pictures around for marking options at some of the vehicles from other towns. I don't know if something you want to discuss now, or people want to shoot me emails as to what they, or not the emails.
Chief, I think when we talked about that, we talked about great pictures. We talked about what the pricing might be for some of the options. Do we have any idea?
I didn't get the pricing. If you, no, I don't have any pricing ideas. It should be fairly low. I mean, all of those are fairly simple.
Yeah.
Blue Jean Printing can do the vinyl lettering, but I did not get the pricing on them. I can bring that back with some pricings for you.
Right.
Is there a consensus? Do we want to strike down the side or just 260 and simpler kind of we had it, or?
The number one picture is just the seal and the number.
The That's the old pickup truck that we have, yeah.
Right, that version seems fine to me.
Okay.
Some of these get kind of fancy.
And I don't, that's why I asked to take a look at it. I think it should stand out more, right? No, I know, I got it there.
More than that one, yeah, okay.
So I think it should stand out more than just the emblem on the side. And I'm not looking for anything fancy. I think the ones that have a straight white line down.
Something like that. Okay.
And everything's a cost statement, right? If you tell me that's a $5,000 cost, then of course.
No, I think we're talking a couple hundred dollars for everything.
Right, and I think if that's the case, I think it kind of stands out a little bit. The public spent money on this particular pickup truck. So I think it should be noticeable when it's in the community.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So the red and the lights and the 260s. I'm just kidding. Okay. Well,
it's got a light bar on it. It's got the same.
From a standpoint of guidance,
yeah.
I agree with Kevin. It'd be great if it were really noticeable that it's good to it.
Okay.
If this is not deemed noticeable enough, I mean, ask Eugene, can you make the seal bigger?
I'm sure they can make it any size at all. Would it be okay if I work with Commissioner Connolly and come up with a solution?
It's fine by me.
As our resident fiscal budget monitor, I entrust it to his.
The only thing I would say is please bear in mind shekels.
He's the man for shekel monitoring.
You know,
I will. I will get some.
Sounds like we have
white
some
stripe
apparatus budget. This would fall under apparatus.
It'll fall under. Actually, it'll come right out of the funds for this vehicle.
Okay.
So we've got the $5,000, I think, article for the vehicle. So that pays for the radios and the plow and everything else. So it'll be enough money in there to cover the stripe on the side of the truck. So that's what it'll come out of. As soon as this arrives, Chris Dolly is going to be disposing of the old pickup truck and the old Explorer we have. So she'll be surplusing those off. I believe she's going to use an online government sale company to get rid of them. Facilities, driveway. Driveway is scheduled to be completed by the 30th of this year. So by the 30th of the month, our driveway and parking lot will be repaved. They said this is a crazy time of year for them, and they're not 100% sure if they'll be there Monday morning or sometime the week after Thanksgiving, but they promised me it's done by the 30th.
But they're also going to be constrained by weather.
Yes, I'm sure they will.
So it's a good thing they weren't scheduled for today.
Yes, yep, and they have to get it done before the asphalt plant's closed, so, which is the only requirement we put on them. The only requirement we put it in for the bid was it gets done by the end of the year. The new roof, we're still working on prices. I think we're going to have to stage that. It looks like the prices we had got and we based our budget on, for some reason, they didn't include the price of the flat roof, the rubber roof. So once you add in the rubber roof, it's more than we have budgeted, so we may have to put it out to bid and just bid the asphalt and with an option two of being the rubber roof. And we can't use the town bid because there are no roofing companies that participate in the town bid system, so we've got to go out using the state bid and advertise ourselves, which is going to be more work, but we'll get that done. It's not a huge deal. Station security, we've been looking into, haven't got any change, but we need to get some locks added to the doors. So when you walk in the entryway, the doors to the apparatus base do not have locks on them right now, so we need to add some locks to the doors, and we're working on trying to find some prices on that. We haven't come up with a proposal for that yet, but that's on the radar. I think that's all I got.
All right. Thank you very much, Chief. We've already covered promotional testing. The next item on the agenda is the annual evaluation of the Chief. I've broken it down on the agenda to separate the evaluation of the Chief with our feelings about the method of evaluation, since we are creating this out of whole cloth. Thank you. After consultation with our attorneys, we were told that the best method for doing this is that we each have done our independent meeting with the chief and filled out this
evaluation form, that we go over them in public meeting, and the chief has said he is comfortable with that, and that they be then entered into the minutes. There are methods that would have been rather convoluted that might have had this done in executive session, but since the chief has no objection to it being done in a public meeting, it's a lot easier this way. After that, I would also like to solicit your comments about the use of this form that we piloted this year, and that can be ongoing afterwards in terms of ideas for modification and improvement. So, anybody want to volunteer to go first?
Commissioner, I'll be happy to go first. My question would be, I would assume that we're going to handle this in a summary capacity.
Yes.
Versus a individual review. So in other words, on, I believe it's the third page. I'll get my fingers onto it. Third page is a under performance criteria 2. There's a summary section.
I think that's page 4.
Oh, my apologies for this. Yours is slightly different than mine for some reason.
But we're talking about the page that heads.
Nope, your page, your front page is different and your back page is different. So you were working from a different one. This is the front of mine. Front of yours is different. Commissioner Zeiss, yours is the same as mine.
Thus the need to have a conversation about what we think about this process.
Yes, indeed. Which page did you want to start with?
I was thinking
he wants to start with this page here.
Performance criteria, correct. And
performance criteria. Okay.
And the columns include leadership, planning, organization, communication, problem solving, decision making, and subtotals.
Correct.
Okay. So my opinion is, what I'd like to do is just review this section, and you know, it refers back to my opinions throughout the entire evaluation. We good with that? Okay. So as I've discussed with the chief, I think he did a fantastic job his first year out. When I look at him from a leadership point of view, I'd rate him more than satisfactory. Planning and organization, more than satisfactory. Communications, more than satisfactory. Problem solving and decision making, more than satisfactory. So for me, on a scale of 0 to 5, 5 being outstanding, 4 being the second, I rate him as a subtotal across the board, more than satisfactory. And I'd say as a side chief, you walk into a lot of challenges, and I think you've done a fantastic job bringing the department along, so thank you for all your efforts.
Thank you, Gail.
Did you want a copy of this? This is an extra copy for you.
Oh, thank you.
I have my original. I have a copy for you.
We're going down the line, Chief, or Chairman. So you're next.
Okay.
Doctor.
Mine. both in leadership and planning and organization, I've rated the Chief as completely satisfactory. As more than satisfactory in communication, and as completely satisfactory in problem solving and decision making. For a subtotal that falls just over the line of more than satisfactory.
I rated the chief between outstanding and more than satisfactory across the board for me. I have been at the house a number of times, and I see the I see what I see, you know, and it may not be, you know, all the time, but then I believe that your leadership, planning, and organizing, especially with working on some of the new procedures, which we really needed to improve, was bordered on outstanding. I actually think you're a terrific communicator. And I'm judging that not just internally, but also out in the community. I've had a lot of comments that are made to me about how approachable you are, how you know, plain spoken in a good way, meaning just, you know, no nonsense. And I think that's terrific. You and I have tackled some things, like, for example, the promotional testing with, I believe, thinking outside the box like that, or being open at least to that, is terrific. And I also I think back to the time when, you know, I place a great deal of value on someone who says, you know, I think I screwed up and I need to make a change and so forth, about the one time you felt like, oh, maybe I'd spent some money without asking. And so I think those things are terrific. So maybe not fives across the board. I wasn't as tough a grader as you guys were. So for me, Chief, for me, is an 18 out of 20 on that section.
All right. Now you know why my graduate students hated me.
Hate is a very strong.
Thank you for your help. I appreciate it. I couldn't do it without you, so it's a team game, team effort. Yeah. Thank you.
So luckily, the average is still pretty good.
Still a job.
Right. The average is between outstanding and more than satisfactory, which I think you can be very proud of, as you are.
Going forward, yeah. I would suggest there's obviously a section in here. I think there's a couple suggestions I'd make. I think we need to, as a commissioner group, as commissioners, set up what we believe the objectives are for the fire department in 2019, so that we can have well documented what we believe are the expectations going forward, so that that can be a point of reference when we have this conversation. I think we'll all have different conversations with the chief in addition to what the commissioners believe to be the most important or what the objectives are, but I think we should have a unified group of objectives for 2019. Okay? I do think, while I think this is a good basis for a managerial conversation, I do wonder if there is possible, and I think it's a great place to start, I do wonder if there is somewhere where we could find, and I have not done the effort to find it yet, whether we could find something that touches more on the fire side of things, right? The managerial within a firehouse, as opposed to straight management. There may or may not even be. I'm not sure.
Worth looking into. Mm.
I told you I was going to ask the Fire Chiefs Association. They've canceled the last 2 months' meetings, and they canceled this month, too. So the next month, I have the Barnstable County Fire Chiefs meeting, and I will ask the question, see if anybody's got an appropriate one.
Thank you.
Now, that's the only thing I would add, that it was a little artificial to be having this at the end of the year when we're talking about mid-year objectives, which obviously waters under the bridge at that point. But I completely agree with Commissioner Connolly about that it's incumbent upon us to not only set the you know, full year, but also figure out how, you know, how we look at mid-year and so forth in collaboration with the chief. Because, for example, I'm sure that we all came up with different things for what we were looking at as thinking back to what the mid-year objectives might have been.
Mm-hmm. I only found in this really two areas in this particular form that I thought were useful, and that was the page on performance objectives with mid-year review, and the performance criteria that we entered into the record. And I could have frankly done without the rest of it. In fact, did you without parts of the rest of it to accomplish this? I believe that we have a set of performance objectives on all of our forms. I was just looking quickly. I think though we're in somewhat different formats, they all touch on the same things. Mm-hmm. These can become the objectives going forward to review at a mid-year level. And I would have no problem keeping this annual review performance criteria segment.
My feeling was that these were a little too limiting for me personally. They were almost sort of like revising history, looking, but it was just a matter of, well, where we were in the point in time. So I look forward to really thinking ahead and coming up with the objectives that we think that are, you know, as aspirational and, you know, big as well as detailed.
That, to clarify what I mean, is that the ones that we currently have give us common ground to look at a new, but we need to be, as you said, thinking out a little bit longer to develop what will be the performance objectives over the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Right. This, we should be starting off 2019 with our goals defined, objectives defined. And we should each be having a conversation with the chief about, you know, what we see here, right? Which would be the same conversation, more or less, right? But we'll all have a slightly different slant to it. But once we have those, then it becomes easy to have the mid-year conversation. Mm-hmm. And frankly, that also gives us as a leadership team, so to speak, the ability to say, let's change the objectives around a little bit. Well, let's add them if something has changed. I did find, you know, for the record, the first set of questions, which is, you know, 1 through 4, which to me feeds into the performance criteria, I did find them useful because it forced me to think in terms of, you know, how do I see the chief working from a developed staff as individuals and team players, right? So it forced me to think about situations where I've seen him, you know, under this group's questions,
okay,
the fellow staff and individuals, team players. So I found that, you know, section, you know, a lot of these are basic leadership questions, which would be appropriate, obviously. You know, problem solving, you know, the four of them here, make sound decisions under difficult or pressurized circumstances, consistently takes time, consistently talking account of time, cost, and human factors. Right, so this to me was a good guideline, and it's a leadership guideline, and the chief is obviously in a leadership role. So I found that helpful, and to me that all feeds into performance criteria.
Right.
So for me personally, I could take these, take performance criteria, and take what you're referring to as the goals, improved staffing,
mm-hmm,
and make that, you know, part of it. And then again, with potentially something added that is fire specific, maybe there's an additional page that would be appropriate, or 3 or 4 questions. I'm not sure.
I'll find that out. The first page I do believe has the what I suggested for performance objections for the coming year.
Right.
Commissioner Zayas mentioned that it would probably be of value to expand on those, add much more detail, and use it as a, you know, release it to the public as this is kind of what we're doing. This is our vision for the next year. And someone else just said maybe a long term. I think probably a good idea, something maybe what's long term objectives. What are we looking at 5 years from now? I mean, why just limit ourselves to this, what we're doing the next year? We should be looking beyond that and know what, you know, what our goals are 5 years down the road. So
yeah, I just think that we owe it to ourselves to be, you know, above average. Or even
I agree.
But to be serious, these are all great. I think these are things that you're all going to achieve. I like the things that make us feel like we're stretching, in addition. And that also, I think, dovetail into a longer vision.
I agree. That's a good thought.
All right. I suspect then we need to accept that next month we will revisit this in terms of method. And perhaps we can have a draft of somewhat expanded objectives.
I can work with the chief on that.
Take a cutout of this format and shave it down to the elements that we described as being most useful.
Well, I mean, I'm certainly willing to make the time to sit with you personally, so, and then we can come back together and say, here's the conversation I had, what, you know, and then we can put those in the pot and stir it around.
Okay, so we will move this forward to the December meeting, to resume the conversation. The new business is Swartzwood Hurricane Preparedness.
Since you mentioned the December meeting, if I may bring up right now that I'm going to be out of the country, that, so.
Somewhere warm and nice, I hope.
Rainy England, so we need to look at other, I want to find, if possible, we could do it the week before or the week after. Think about it, okay, get back to me.
Well, I
mean, or we could do it now.
Let's just see if we can do it now to have it present in the minutes of the meeting. So.
It's currently for the 11th, I believe.
Right, it would be the next scheduled. And what's the span during which you'll be away?
The 10th through the 14th, the 15th.
Oh, just that week?
Yeah.
Oh, shut up. So Tuesday the 18th?
That's fine with me.
Would that work for you?
Would that work for you, Chief?
Yes.
So you don't want to do it the 25th, Tuesday the 25th?
We could.
Tuesday the 18th. Tuesday the 18th will work on my end.
All right.
I want an excuse to get out of the house.
Okay. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that.
All right, so we can have it appear in the minutes that the December meeting will be moved to the 18th. I'm hoping we don't have a conflict with use of the hall, but.
Would you run that by?
I will, Chris.
Peace out.
We can determine that by tomorrow if there's a conflict.
Yeah.
But if you would, and if there's not, tell her to jump on it for us. So.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Hurricane
preparedness.
So I've been kind of thinking a little bit about this. We've been doing, having meetings with the town for emergency operations center. So consolidated DPW, police, fire. We did drill where we simulated a hurricane and talked about resources and how we're going to deploy. And then this past fall, there were a few situations where it looked like there was the possibility where there's something that might run off the coast. And thank God nothing happened. But the more we talk about it, the more I think that we need to be more prepared than we are. I was here during Hurricane Bob. I was a call firefighter at Katuitan, and we spent 2 weeks straight just cutting roads with chainsaws by hand. And that was a pretty minimal hurricane. The town has three loaders. That's what they have. They contract out for snow during the snow season, where they contract out the loaders. But during hurricane season, the town has no ability to get more resources. They've got four loaders, and I'm guessing probably they're not going to end up at Katuit. So we're going to be working chainsaws by hand. So that's really not acceptable. We need a plan to do better than that, to really get through and open roads up during a severe emergency like that. We need, you know, we need bigger equipment. So we've been kind of thinking about how we go about that. I think this past fall I looked at rentals from equipment rentals and some of the problems with the training. You need to have hydraulic licenses and hoisting licenses to get these rentals. None of my people have that. Calm Fire's got Calm Water. They've got some backhoes and heavy equipment. Our water department doesn't have any. So I'm actually talking to the water department now about what use they have for heavy equipment. If we could find a machine that they could use for doing their service work, train their people to operate, and we depend on them and their operators to work alongside us, or we look at contracts with outside vendors. So we have a contract written that says, you know, in the event of a storm or hurricane, you'll come and give us at least 2 weeks straight operator machine. So, and we've also put in a request to the federal surplus program to see if they wind up with another free piece of equipment for us. So we might find something there too. So I'm working on these, on this issue. I think we need something better than what we have. I just want to let you know we're looking at that. I think think I may ask, actually ask for something on, as for an article in next year, if the water department and us can find, if we can find a piece of equipment that saves them some money for road maintenance and, you know, brush work and service work, at the same time, it maybe has the ability to service us in an emergency, maybe we put forward an article for that.
What kind of equipment did you visualize this being?
Some type of a loader, a heavy, you know, 1 yard bucket front end loader, something that can move trees out of the road. We just want to plow the road. Some of the people at the surplus at the forestry department said maybe a 5 ton truck with a plow on it, but I think we're looking for more something that can pick up and move stuff. The ideal solution, if we find something that the district has other uses for that can save them money for contracting and do work for them, especially if water department can train their people to run the machinery and we can depend on them to work alongside us. So that would be the ideal solution if we can justify it money-wise.
Question, have we bounced any of this off of DPW? Because it sounds like we're going to be stepping on some toes.
I have talked about this in the EOC meetings with the DPW that, you know, if they don't have the ability to offer us this, you know, with snow season, they've done it. They do a great job in removing snow and taking care of us. They just don't have a plan to do this. So I did tell them that if you don't have a plan to do it, then we're going to come with a plan to do it. One way or the other, it has to get done. So they may end up coming up with a plan of contracting for additional equipment for the town. They work at a little different speed than we work, so we'll...
Yeah. Chief, do we know if anybody in town has equipment?
Yeah, they do. There are people in town that have equipment, yeah.
Right, so in other words, somebody that is a landscaper that has whatever they have, or a contractor of some sort.
Yep.
So have we had any conversations with them yet? Because in a situation like that, their equipment's going to be probably locked in the yard or locked in the yard somewhere. In their yard or in a storage yard somewhere, they're not going to have access to get out the boat like anybody else is going to have. So can we leverage them potentially?
We could. And we've got Coastal Tool Rental just outside of the district. We've got Bortolotti's just outside.
I get that. We can do that. But I'm saying is if somebody lives in the district and has a backhoe, why wouldn't we approach them and see what their thoughts are?
Can I make a suggestion?
It's a good idea. One of the problems is after Hurricane, especially after Hurricane Bob, there was so much work for the contractors. They were making a boatload of money.
Oh, yeah.
And they were making a lot more money than we were able to pay them.
Yeah,
so they're going to have a list literally a mile long of people to go work for. To have someone to send us a machine and a loader to work 12, 14 hours a day straight for 2 weeks straight, it's going to be
hard to get that.
Even if it involved offering them legal coverage to open just parts of the roads that they need to get to their better paying clients.
Right.
Because if they're not authorized, they get into dicey territory if they're opening roads on their own.
Right.
Maybe we don't get them for 2 weeks straight to do everything, but if somebody's out in your neighborhood, and we, but just that, you know, if you're willing to clear this stretch of road for us, then you can run your stuff to your better paying clientele. If we got, you also mentioned the possibility of surplus equipment. If we were able to get a piece of surplus equipment and liaison with water. I would also raise the question about the liaison with DPW. If they themselves can't get a piece of surplus equipment, but we can, and it was housed in the area, but was available kind of under their auspices to use in the area, because they've got a fair number of already licensed hydraulic operators.
No, it's a great idea. Actually, that has happened. Some of the Barnesville fire departments have gotten some 5-ton trucks that you'll probably see them out back at the DPW right now, military-looking trucks. They mm-hmm. came through the fire department, so that was a partnership with them. So, yeah, if we could find a machine they had use for that we could get free, or they could maintain it, house it, and provide an operator, that would certainly be an option. Unfortunately, right now, I've been looking for a couple months now. There hasn't been a lot of decent machinery out there that the military is looking to get rid of as far as loaders go. But I'll keep my eye out there, and I'll talk to the water department and see if they have a need. I've got a loader at my house, and that's certainly
no Abrams. No Abrams tanks.
Shape. What's that?
No Abrams tanks for sale.
I haven't seen any tanks on there. They got some Black Hawk helicopters. Chinook helicopters.
New method of tree removal.
Okay. Right. Chief, well, thank you for your efforts there.
But I just want to let you know we're working on it. And you may see something if I'm going to talk with the water department, and if we can find something that we could get our money's worth out of and have it dual use, that might be worth it. Otherwise, we'll look at all the other ways, and worst case, we'll get some contracts that where we get company on contract to help us out when it happens. So one way to be prepared for something.
Last item under new business is OSHA.
So Massachusetts Department of Labor, I think it is, they are adopting some type of a modified OSHA standard that we're going to be responsible for meeting by February. So you're just going to hear more about that as it gets closer. I don't think it's huge changes for us. Mostly it's going to be paperwork, so it's going to be SOPs that say how firefighters work on trucks. And that, you know, OSHA standard is you have to be on safety lines whenever you're working from a height over, I think, 4 feet. When they're packing hose, you know, 10 feet up on a fire truck, there's really no place to tie anybody off to. So their solution is going to be we need a guideline to say how we're going to go forward. If someone falls, how we're going to train, how we're going to try to limit that exposure. There's going to be some changes on facial hair. Firefighters have to shave more than they shave now. There can't be any hair between the mask and the face. That's a change. But more than anything else, it's standards and SOPs and how we approach things and how we keep safe. There's some questions about medical standards. So there are respiratory evaluations that have to take place prior to employment, and then some that take place periodically. So I don't think any of us are 100% sure whether existing firefighters are grandfathered and don't have to undergo additional respiratory testing now. Mm-hmm. We're going to find an answer for that question out. But there's going to be a few things that have to get caught up with over the next couple months to meet that standard. And the state knows we're not going to hit it right away, and there's going to be some growing pains for all the fire departments in the state to catch up with the OSHA standards. So.
So certainly say the pulmonary testing part, that training day, wearing the full rig and the respirator, was glad I was in pretty good aerobic condition, because that's tough stuff. So it wouldn't be a bad idea if they force us into periodic.
Well, I think it's always a matter of do you comply or not, right? Including things like physical fitness, not just the procedures. Yeah.
Well,
to be continued.
Yeah, I mean, physical fitness is something we can bring up for contract negotiations. The state doesn't have a physical fitness standard, and they probably should be. They definitely should be.
So this can be a backdoor to some parts of it, because if they're going to have respiratory efficiency testing, and you don't pass. As far as I know, there's only one pathway.
Yes.
In that, what's the outcome? Exactly.
I
wraps up my agenda. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion to adjourn. Second. All in favor, Pisano.
Conley.
Zace.